You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And now joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, our guy John McNamara from Badger Blitz and the Rivals Network. McNamara Rivals on Twitter is how you follow him there. John, Big Ten Media Days wrapping up. We'll get into the conference realignment, which I thought was the interesting conversation coming out of there in a moment. But first, how did the Badgers fare all dressed up in front of the microphones?
Well, they look pretty good. They brought Jonathan Taylor down here, obviously, Heisman Trophy contender. They brought Tyler Biadasz down here, potential All-American offensive lineman, and then Chris Orr, starting middle linebacker. So, you know, those three guys just got done talked about the expectations for this year, and they certainly feel like they can contend in the Big Ten West and potentially win that side of the division.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about some of the things that have come up at these Big Ten media days. Baby Tosh was saying one of the things that has popped up is talking about realignment in these conferences. What have you heard on that?
Yeah, James Franklin this morning came out and talked about that. You know, he didn't demand realignment, but he talked about having a conversation about it, and I know that, you know, that's certainly something that they're talking about. Obviously, the East is pretty heavy with Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State. The West has been historically a little bit weaker. Wisconsin's had a lot of success in the West. And, you know, this year I think the West is kind of wide open. The buzz down here is that Nebraska could come out of the West. But
that's my pick.
You talked about Sparty. You know, the East is stronger. And I don't know what will come of that. I don't know if anything's going to come soon. But, you know, that's certainly a topic of conversation down here in Chicago.
John, can it really be as easy, though, as the conversation seemed to be circled around when they first did the East and the West, of just flipping Michigan State and Purdue?
That's a good question. And I remember when it first started, it was the leaders and the legends, and it was a little bit more balanced.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's going to happen. But, you know, there's a number of things I'm sure you could work out. But, you know, I think if you look historically, Ohio State, Michigan have been very strong. You know, do you keep those two teams in the same, you know, in the East? Do you split them up? I think there's a lot of questions that go into it. I don't know that anything is going to happen in the immediate future, though.
Well, since you're down there, you can just go tell them what the right answer is. I'll give you the right answer. Right answer is you approach this topic every 10 years. You determine who's on each side based on the average wins and losses in the previous 5 years, and then split them up evenly based on win-loss percentages. So two best records are split. Next two best records are split, and you do that all the way down both sides. Screw demographics, screw all this other stuff. That's the best way to do it based on the previous 5 years, and then you just tell everybody, look, we're going to do this every 10 years. So if a powerhouse comes up that wasn't expected, you'll get a chance to revisit and redo both sides every 10 years.
Yeah, Jim Delaney and I are having dinner tonight, so I will definitely run that by him.
Yeah, I don't need to be paid for that idea. I'm just saying, it's probably best for the conference.
A little bit of credit, though, would be nice.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so the other thing that got everybody going was Harbaugh talking crap about Urban Meyer after he's out and talking about, you know, controversy follows him everywhere and so forth. And then he makes a statement that they've got the most wins outside of Ohio State in the conference, which isn't true because that would be Wisconsin. Would be second in this whole deal. How have the other coaches reacted to Harbaugh taking shots like he always does?
Yeah, you know, and he didn't back down from those shots. He talked this morning and he came on. He was asked about, you know, his comments about Urban Meyer and, you know, the controversy that Jim Harbaugh said that followed with him with his winning records. And he didn't back down when asked about it. He said, you know, it's true. And there was no context I need to explain. And he was pretty short about that. So he draws the biggest crowd down at Big Ten Media Days. He has since he arrived in the Big Ten, and he's going to give you good sound bites. But, you know, he's also a pretty thoughtful guy. He gives you some good answers, too. So he definitely, when he is speaking, he definitely rules the room down here in Chicago.
John, when you look at the conversations that you were hearing and the buzz being that Nebraska could be coming out of that West, how difficult would the schedule look for Wisconsin, as you do have Ohio State and Michigan on there, when Nebraska, they don't have Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State on theirs?
Yeah, right. And that's a big reason why Nebraska is being mentioned and, you know, being able to come out of the West. You hear them say, well, I like Nebraska because of their schedule. You know, they don't have to play, I believe they don't have to play Ohio State or Michigan. The teams that come to Nebraska are teams that are a little bit stronger in terms of strength. in winning records from previous seasons. And, you know, a lot of people like the buzz around Scott Frost entering his second season. That offense was starting to click towards the end of last year. They still need to prove that they can stop guys on defense. But, you know, like you talked about, the buzz in Chicago, you know, over the last couple of days is that Nebraska could be the team to beat in the West. I'm a little skeptical. I think it's wide open. Wisconsin has a really difficult schedule. They have to play Ohio State. They have to play Michigan. But the biggest stat that I came away with down here is that they play five teams that will face them coming off byes. And, you know, as a former football player, you can speak to that, how big that is to have, you know, essentially 2 weeks to prepare for a team.
Yeah, no doubt. And two, even the one that you don't have to face on the road in Michigan State, who's been a bugaboo for you up there in East Lansing, you get them in the middle of a tough stretch for you, and they are coming off a bye for your homecoming. You're right. It's a tough schedule that it looks at, and it ramps up right away. You get the bye week before Michigan, which helps, but then you rattle off, what, like four, five, six games in a row against really, really top competition.
Right, and they start off against South Florida, going down to South Florida in a night game.
You think that's going to be a tough game? Because Gary Ellerson doesn't think they'll even have to pass in that game. It'll be so easy for him.
That game has a very Arizona State on the road Gary Anderson feel to it.
You're damn right it does.
Eerie feel to it. It's going to be 110 degrees down there. And, you know, South Florida, they got a lot of athletes down there. Obviously, they didn't have a great season last year, but that is a tough game. And you're going to go in there with Jack Cohn. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's got four starts under his belt.
Hold on. Hold on. You know something we all don't know? They've named Cohen the starter?
No.
You just said you're going in there with Jack Cohen. You know some inside info.
Jack Cohen's going to be the starter.
You need to share.
I would be very surprised if Jack Cohen does not start week one for Wisconsin.
Now, then they're definitely not going to win. Well, then they're going to lose. I mean,
no, you need a veteran to go out there on the road. He's talking about a hostile environment, South Florida, 100-degree temperatures.
You watch. You just watch. Mark my words. You write this down. Graham Mertz, they're going to end up playing dual quarterbacks this year to keep Mertz happy as the freshman. That's what's going to happen. And then if Cohn goes into the dumps, Mertz will end up getting that job, and that'll be the end of it.
Sure.
And if Cohn is playing well, they'll leave him continue to play but still get Mertz his reps. I think it's just a horrible idea to sit there and not play Graham Mertz, or even worse, redshirt him, when you can really get this dude going for really 1, 2, 3 years at least before you lose him to the National Football League and get him playing every snap. Yeah, you can laugh. I'm telling you, this dude is the truth. Telling you, you'll see.
Hey, I'm as high on Graham Mertz as anyone, but I don't know if I'm ready to declare that he's going to leave early for the NFL draft and he hasn't taken a snap of college football yet. But
he'll have won the national championship that year. So what else is there going to be for him to accomplish?
You see what I'm dealing with here, John?
With the national championship his junior year, there's no reason to come back.
You guys are crazy.
John, don't pin both of us in here. I want to talk about Jonathan Taylor, man. Just how good is he in terms of the top flight running backs that you've seen at Wisconsin and that have come through Wisconsin in the last two decades?
Yeah, Ron Dayne, Melvin Gordon, and I think Jonathan Taylor absolutely has a chance to be up with those two guys. Like I said before when we started talking, a legitimate Heisman contender. The Wisconsin athletic department's putting together a pretty good campaign for him and getting that buzz generated. And it's well-deserved, you know, the first two seasons that he has. You know, interesting question down here in Chicago was, you know, should a player like Taylor be allowed to leave after 2 years and not have to spend a third year in college football, especially at a position like running back? So he talked about those questions. He talked about being mature, you know, not only physically but mentally. And he didn't toss off the idea, you know, if he had that opportunity, if he would have came back to Wisconsin. So, you know, he could go down as one of the all-time greats at Wisconsin if he stays healthy. He's as talented as any running back that they've had there. And like I said, I think he's going to be a legit Heisman contender. Wisconsin's going to absolutely give him the ball and give him the opportunity to showcase his skills. The offensive line, I think, could surprise people. They're losing four starters, but they're bringing back Tyler Biadasz at center. Cole Van Lanen's a guy that they feel really good about. They can fill in some spots at guard. That offensive line could be good again. I think Taylor could put up some real big numbers again this season.
That's my concern. That's one of my concerns, that offensive line. But the other thing, all of this, I saw Taylor was talking about Bradrick Shaw, kind of a forgotten guy in that backfield.
He is, and he's entering his you know, redshirt senior season. He was injured 2 years ago against Minnesota on the road. He blew out his knee, didn't play at all last year, was really limited this spring, and You know, they expect him to be full go. If you believe what Paul Chryst said yesterday, is that all the returning guys should be full go for fall camp. I think anything that you get out of him is a bonus. You know, they got guys behind him, Garrett Groshek, who they used as a third down back last year. Isaac Arendo they like, Julius Davis, a true freshman they like. And then really the guy to watch is Nakia Watson, who redshirted last year, a bigger back, runs to the tackles, who they're really high on. I think if he can digest that playbook, he could potentially be your backup. But, yeah, like you said, Sparky, don't count off Bradrick Shaw if he's healthy. A former four-star kid, he's shown that he can handle the Big Ten, you know, previously in his first couple years there. If he's healthy, he could be a big boost to this offense behind Jonathan Taylor.
Where's the biggest camp battles going to be that you're looking forward to watching?
Yeah, left guard, right guard, you know, both those spots are open. Cornerback, you know, even though there's a lot of young guys who played a lot of snaps last year, I think those two spots are open. Outside linebacker, outside of Zach Vaughn, I think that position's open. But, you know, really, it's going to go down to quarterback. People are going to want to talk about that. Like I said, Jack Cohen's going to enter fall camp as your starter. And I think after about a week, you'll see where the reps kind of dictate the play. I think you'll see Cohen followed by Graham Mertz, probably followed by Chase Wolf and then Danny Vandenboom. So that's, you know, certainly a position that'll be watched. But, you know, there's going to be some intriguing battles on both sides of the ball for a team that brings back, I think, 13 or 14 returning starters.
On the defensive side of the football, they're going to be much improved, right?
They should be. You know, especially if up front, if that defensive line can stay healthy, they're going to really benefit from Garrett Rand coming back. He missed all of last season with an Achilles injury. If Isaiah Larmel can stay healthy on the other side of defensive end, they should be pretty good. And then Bryson Williams in the middle, who played last year after Olivier Sangapala went down. So I think if they can kind of shore things up up front, they should be a little bit better in the back end this year.
John, I have one guy on the left side of me who's been campaigning for Graham Mertz. Do I think not only be the RA of his dorm room, but also then be the administrator in waiting to become one of the top administrators at UW-Madison, along with the starting quarterback, who says that they're going to go 6-6. And the other guy on my other side who played at Wisconsin says 8-9 wins. Where do you see the Badgers right now, knowing their schedule, knowing what they have in front of them, all the uncertainty, but albeit a pretty damn good roster?
Yeah, you know, we were talking about that today, and someone asked the question, are they closer to 12-0 or are they closer to 8-5? I think they are closer to 8-5. You know, really with the schedule that they have. And, you know, they have some really nice pieces. Jonathan Taylor is as good as anyone in the country. I think the offense should be able to score. I think the wide receivers should be improved. But that defense, I think there's question marks there. Like I said, the schedule's tough. I don't like those teams coming off those bye weeks against Wisconsin. There's five of them. I think they'll have a season much like last year where they, you know, play in a bowl similar to the Pinstripe Bowl. But again, there's a long way to go. We haven't even seen any of fall camp. I do think that there's stuff to be excited about, but I think it's a difficult schedule, and they might not have enough on defense, you know, to really compete for a Big Ten title.
John, who asked you that question? Barry Alvarez throwing out 12-0? Who the heck thought they were closer to 12-0?
No, I mean, it's a hypothetical. Do you think this team is closer to being a 12-0 team or an 8-5 team? And I thought they're closer to 8-5. No one down here thinks they're going to go 12-0.
Thank God. Okay, good. I thought maybe Barry got a new year or something talking about 12-0.
Barry Alvarez thinks that, I can assure you that.
Thank God.
But what about 14-1, John, to win the Big Ten?
No.
I wouldn't take that.
Okay, no. Good. There we go. That's the advice that I was looking for. John, appreciate it, man. We'll talk once you get back up here, all right?
All right, fellas. We'll
John
see.
McNamara from McNamara Rivals on Twitter from the Rivals Network, BadgerBlitz.com, joins us, talks Badger football on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline with us on the Wendy's Big Show. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.